Welcome to Parents' Perspective. Kaylee, age 15, stood in the doorway of 11-year-old Roger's room. The floor was filled with photos and news clippings. "What are you doing?" she asked. "Oh, I'm just putting up some stuff," he replied, pulling thumbtacks and glossy photos off his bedroom walls. "Wait a minute. You're not putting stuff up. You're taking all those pictures of Duncan Darnell off your walls," she observed. "I thought he was your favorite basketball player, after MJ, of course." "Well, he was," Roger began, "but he never signs autographs or anything, and he gets those big bucks. I don't know, he just doesn't seem so cool anymore."
"So what's all this stuff?" Kaylee motioned to the debris on the floor.
"Oh, it's junk from the news, you know, with the burning buildings and all. It was sort of neat how all those firemen were there just trying to find people and helping all those other people, and still covered with all that stuff from the smoke and things. They're pretty brave guys, don't you think?"
From a parent's perspective, who are our children's heroes these days? And what do they reveal about us? I'm Sandy Burt.
And I'm Linda Perlis. Today, we are fortunate to have a guest who has done extensive research in human development and relationships. Dr. Melanie Killen is a developmental psychologist who is professor of human development and the associate director for the Center for Children, Relationships, and Culture at the University of Maryland. She has done research on social and moral development of kids in a number of different countries, exploring some universal issues about children throughout various cultures. Dr. Killen has an 8-year-old daughter and a 2-year-old son. Welcome to Parents' Perspective, Dr. Killen.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
Where you work, you've come into contact with lots of stories of heroism. Is there anything that you think heroes have in common?
I think that for children, heroes often mean something different than they do for adults. I think the kinds of heroes that children talk about vary, of course, depending on their age and where they're from, and also what's happening in our culture at a given time. And I think it's very poignant that you started with that story about the firemen, because I think since the fall and since September, I think the whole notion of hero has probably changed a little bit for children in our culture and probably around the world. And I think it's very important for parents to be aware of that and to think about it and to talk to their children about it.
Do you think children perceive these same traits in the people that they idolize?
I think it's very different. I was surprised, actually. I've been talking with children about heroes and asking them at sort of different ages what they think about it. And what struck me is how children have taken on a more realistic view of what it means to be a hero. Or maybe realistic isn't the right word, because that sounds like adults know it's realistic and children don't. But what I mean is that children, I think, have a sense of what it means to be a hero in a different way from adults. I had one 9-year-old girl, for example, say to me right away, "Well, you know, you shouldn't just think of someone who's a sports player, an athlete, as a hero, because, well, they're not necessarily doing something for other people. They're doing it for themselves. And what's really important is to do something for someone else." And so maybe when I was younger, this is a 9-year-old girl, so she's talking about probably when she was 6. When I was younger, I really thought that somebody who played basketball would be a hero, but now I'm thinking about it differently. And I think that maybe it really means somebody who does something for somebody else.
Were you really surprised that a 9-year-old had that perception?
Yeah, I was. I was surprised about it. And I said to her, "Well, who is a hero?" And she said, "Well, someone like Clara Barton." And she mentioned Clara Barton, the Civil War nurse, and I was surprised that she'd known this. Now, it happened that she had gone on a trip or a tour to Clara Barton's house a month ago. And I thought that was interesting, though, that she still picked up on this. And she said, "Well, you know, someone like Clara Barton is a good example of a hero because she helped children who needed schools, and she helped soldiers who were on the field who were hurt, and she was doing it for them and not for herself. And that's what makes a hero, and that's the kind of person I think should be a hero." And I said to her, "Well, could a sports player ever be a hero?" And she said, "Yes, if they were really doing something for somebody else, but just to be good." She said, "It's very good to have people who are good. We want to try to be like them, but that's really not what a hero is."
How perceptive.
Yeah, I was surprised by
so
that.
Young.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is there a developmental stage where you think it's likely that this kind of reality perception kicks in?
I think two things are going on. I think there's a developmental stage, and then I think also what's happening in a culture bears on that. So I think that there is a developmental stage, and that younger children do see people in our culture as being heroes, and how they define it is just somebody who's famous or who's a celebrity or somebody who they want to be like. But I think that there is this shift around probably 9 or 10 years of age where children become more aware of what it means to do something for somebody else, and that's different from doing something just for yourself. Because I did talk to a 12-year-old girl who said, I asked her about heroes, and she said, well, Michelle Kwan, the ice skater, was her hero. And I said, now, you know, why? Why is she your hero? And she said, the first thing she said to me was, well, she has a very artistic orientation. She's not just a show-off. She's not just trying to show off and be really competitive. She's doing it because she really loves it deep down. She's passionate, and she really cares about it, and she's trying to be artistic. And then she talked about sort of the qualities of who she was as a person. So again, I thought that was interesting. You know, she's talking about the qualities of a person rather than just somebody who's famous, who you want to be like. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a developmental shift in that sense. But I do think that changes in a culture bear on this, because I did talk to a girl who was a little bit older. She was about 15, and I asked her about heroes, and she said, children should not have heroes. And I said, why should they not have heroes? And she said, well, you know, heroes are just going to disappoint you. If you have a hero, you're going to find out that they're not going to, that they're doing something that's not good anyways. You know, you shouldn't idolize people. You shouldn't put people on a pedestal. Nobody is perfect. So her idea was a hero is somebody who's perfect, and that what you'll find out is that people aren't perfect. And I think this is really a product of things happening in the culture. I mean, and then she did talk about, you know, she said, look, even people in business, even people, you know, with Enron, they go up and people are saying that they didn't tell the truth. So you see, you shouldn't have heroes because eventually they won't tell you the truth.
That's really unfortunate to have such disillusionment. So,
well,
yeah,
you know, I had a mixed reaction. Part of me felt a little bit sort of sad at this idea that she wouldn't have it. But part of me thought this is healthy, too. Mm-hmm. It's healthy to be critical. It's healthy to have, I think, a critical attitude of adults, too, as long as it doesn't mean you don't have anybody you aspire to be like.
Yeah. It's interesting, though, because I was thinking when you were talking about this, here's a 15-year-old, okay, adolescence is a time of disillusionment, but it's also a time of idealism. And I was thinking about previous generations who idealized Franklin Roosevelt, for example, and came to Washington to work in the New Deal, or the Kennedy administration people who changed their lives to give to their country and all this stuff. Do you think that there isn't that idealism anymore with adolescents?
I think it's changed. I think there's not quite the same idealism, but I think it's there too. I just think you have both. You have skepticism of individuals and societies, because it's true. Then you don't feel you're totally disappointed or disillusioned when they don't come through for you. On the other hand, I think it is important for children to have people they aspire to. This same 15-year-old, I asked her after she told me this, I said, well, do you have anyone that you admire, that you look up to? Because I thought maybe I need to use a different word. And she said, oh, yes, oh, yes. She said, you know, I've had teachers who've been very important to me in my life and who've helped me become interested in the world and in doing things and in studying art and music. And these teachers have been so important to me. I think children, adolescents need people they aspire to. But the word hero may mean something different to them, and they may not have an over-idealization the way I think people did in past generations.
Using different terminology really elicited a different kind of response, but the same topic.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to continue our discussion of who are our children's heroes.
Two excellent books written by hosts Sandra Burt and Linda Perlis, Parents as Mentors and Washington, D.C. with Kids, are available at all major bookstores and on the web.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. Today we are talking with Dr. Melanie Killen about our children and their heroes.
What about rock stars and movie stars that have always been the heroes? And now, since the September 11th incidents, there are changes to some extent because those people have become fundraisers. And so I don't know if you've seen changes in the attitude towards those kinds of people other than athletes.
I think that that has been very important. I think that children and adolescents are seeing the people that they sort of wanted to be like and look up to also doing these things for other people, having a positive reaction, trying to work with a tragedy and work with it in a positive sense to reinforce this idea that people care about other people, that they will do things for other people. And so I think it's been very good and very important for children and adolescents to see, you know, the rock stars doing the fundraising and going and helping us, because I don't think they saw that. I think what's important is that children and adolescents see the different dimensions to people. Because if I go back to that adolescent who talked about how you should not have heroes, I think that the healthy part of that is to understand that people are complex and that they have different dimensions to them. And if you understand that and appreciate that, then you can see that, you know, people can sometimes do things that seem to be self-promoting, but that same individual can also do things for other people above and beyond what's good for them. And I think when they understand that complexity, I think that's very healthy.
Do you see any difference in the kinds of heroes that young children have versus the kind that the older kids, the adolescents, have?
Certainly. I certainly see differences. One thing I find with the younger children is the first things they'll often say is their mother or their father. I mean, that's
parents,
what I find.
Pay attention, guys.
Yes.
That's pretty
When I've talked to young children, I've said, you know, their hero or someone they look up to, mommy, my mommy, you know, my mommy, or my daddy. And they don't always elaborate. And we're talking about very young children, but they sort of immediately think of them as somebody that they look up to. And I think that that's reaffirming.
And we're perfect when our children are young, aren't we?
Right. And then they find out it's not quite that way. But I think as children experience the world and interact with people and study and read and become aware of all the different kinds of things in our cultures and our lives, they have a broader idea of who can fulfill that role. And I think that that does expand. But I think they sort of go through these different phases, because I think after their parents or their teachers, they then do start to see these people like sports heroes or rock stars. And I think they go through this period where they probably do idealize them, but then they do see the other sides. And then it's sort of what happens after that, I think, that's important. That's where I think parents have a really important role in terms of providing them with a range of people and pointing out the strengths and weaknesses of people. So that if you do have a hero and they do something that seems to be wrong or they lie, to try to help them through that, to help them see that people are complex and that they do that. And sometimes it really does mean that individual is something other than what they thought. But sometimes it just means that people make mistakes. Parents need to help them through that so it isn't a completely disillusioning and disappointing experience.
That's a pretty important lesson, that people make mistakes.
Yeah. You know,
I guess when you're patterning yourself after someone, if you feel that person is perfect, then you really could fail miserably at being perfect, and then you really have a problem. We had an interesting thing. When colleges ask for essays from kids, they very often ask for an essay on the person you admire the most. Mm-hmm. And we had that in our house a couple of times. And at one point, one of my sons said that he admired the most an older brother. And the reason was because the older brother had had a very hard time for a variety of reasons and persevered.
That's very reassuring.
Let's talk a little bit more for a minute about the effect of someone familiar to a child, like the teacher, the coach, the parent.
This is something I think that's very important, because I think we often do emphasize the celebrities in our culture when we think about heroes and we talk to children about that. But I think that you'll find that the familiar people in children's lives are really the most powerful heroes in some ways. And it's important that children have those kinds of thoughts about the adults in their life. And I think when you talk to children, you find that they do. And I think it's often very surprising. When I've talked to children about this and asked them about their teachers, I've had the most amazing responses from children. And when I talked to one 7-year-old boy and I asked him about who somebody he admired, you know, he said his first grade teacher, that his first grade teacher had just been so important to him and that he loved her so much and that he really missed her, but he still got to see her in the hallway and that made him happy. And people aren't always aware of that. Familiar adults play a very powerful role in children's lives.
It's interesting. We think about people who stress winning. It reminds me of the old business about the coach. Who's the coach that you remember with the most fondness? It's not necessarily the one with the winning seasons. It's the one that had faith in you.
That's a big developmental difference, too. I think you'll see that more in high school and even maybe college when you talk to adolescents and young adults about who somebody they admire and who they look up to. And they'll often talk about a teacher. What I find with adolescents is they might say, you know, I had this teacher who really made me think about things in a different way, and she really pushed me. And at the time, I thought she was really hard. But now I see how good it was for me, and now I just really appreciate it.
How do you think parents can influence who our children's heroes are?
Parents can have a very big influence. And I think the kind of influence parents can have is what I call indirect, not direct. So an indirect influence is by exposing them to different people from all walks of life and encouraging them to find out about individuals in our culture. So, for example, the Clara Barton story I told earlier, this girl's family took her to the Clara Barton house. And I don't know that they expected this was going to be one of the girl's heroes. And it was sort of an indirect way to sort of take her and her friends on a tour to see somebody who did something important in our culture, who helped others, and just to expose them to people like that. And then they can draw the inferences about what makes that person important or good or doing things for other people. I think we need to do that more. I think we often feel resistant to exposing children in that way. And we don't want to just let the magazines and the television and the media be the only avenue for children to be exposed to people in our culture, because that's sort of the same people over and over. And you know, life is so much richer than just that. I think as parents, we should do as much as we can to expose children to other people. So you know, getting books out of the library on people like scientists like Madame Curie or people who've done other things who are still well known. But I think we need to do the best we can to give children the materials, the books, the tours, whatever it is, so that they can be exposed to people who've done very different kinds of things.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to finish our discussion of who are our children's heroes.
For an audio cassette copy of any Parent's Perspective show, send a check or money order for $5 with your name, address, and phone number to Parent's Perspective, P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C., 20015.
Welcome back to Parents' Perspective. Today we are talking with Dr. Melanie Killen about our children and their heroes. We bring interesting people into our homes who just happen to be our friends that sometimes, well, the children are shooed out or sent off to somebody else's house for sleepovers, when really they could probably profit by being included in the conversation for the first half hour.
That's a wonderful example. I think that's very true. And just through books and libraries and all kinds of things, I think we can do more of that. Giving children biographies. I think after about 7 or 8 years of age, children really enjoy reading biographies. And there's a lot of very good biographies out there about people from all different walks of life. Because I think often after about 7 or 8, children can go to their school library on their own. So we sort of turn that over to children to kind of make the decisions about what resources they get. Yeah. So for example, I have an 8-year-old, just about to be a 9-year-old daughter. And when we go to the public library on the weekend, she'll immediately go over and look at the Nancy Drew mysteries. And she loves mysteries. So she wants to get the latest Nancy Drew mystery, and she'll read hundreds of those mysteries. And what I do is try to, you know, give her other things as well. You know, so we go over to the biographies, and I'll pull biographies out of the shelf and give them to her, and she'll take them, and she will end up reading them, and it'll expose her to other people. But if I leave it to her, it'll be the next Nancy Drew mystery, and I think it's important to sort of supplement that.
In a situation like that, is there available for her age an Agatha Christie biography?
That's excellent. That would be a great one. Yeah, right. There are a lot of very good ones. I was surprised myself just going through the library and going through the shelf. And in fact, I have to say, I, you know, sort of flipping through and reading some and thinking about, you know, learning myself about sort of different people and their lives.
It's a way of getting kids interested in history, too, because history is just people.
Exactly.
Is it significant, do you think, to our children who our heroes are?
Who our heroes are as adults are.
As adults.
I think when you talk to children about who your heroes are, it's a way of communicating values and what it means to have somebody that you admire, that you look up to. And it's also just a really wonderful way to talk to children about what values are important in life and when it is important to think about other people and do things for other people. And again, if you talk to a child about your hero, it's a nice indirect way of sending a message to them. I think as parents, we need to move away from didactic, direct sort of methods of instruction. You know, it's important to be honest. It's important to be honest. I mean, you can say that many times. It doesn't really sink in. You need to do it indirectly. So if you talk to them about somebody that you really admire, either you admired as a child yourself or somebody you admire now as an adult, and by doing that, it's kind of a story you tell them. And then you're also indirectly communicating a number of values. And I think the indirect method is very powerful and important.
Dr. Killen, we're going to have to close in a minute or two. Can you suggest resources for parents who might want to learn more about children and heroes?
I think the public library is really one of the best places to go, and everyone has access to that. If you go and you just go down the aisle, you know, biographies, you'll find wonderful stories written for children at all different developmental levels. So you get picture books for young children. You get detailed narratives for older children. I think that's probably one of the best resources. And then, of course, there are many websites for this now. I think another good resource is the local elementary schools now in many, many places have their own website. When you go to those websites, I found they're just remarkable. It includes information about, you know, not as explicitly heroes, but certainly includes information about people they can learn about in our society, about recent political events, and talks about the news in ways I think that it's very accessible to children. So I found this to be a wonderful resource. And again, that's something that anyone can have access to.
It occurred to me when you mentioned schools, I wonder how many children know the biography of the person their school was named for.
That's an excellent question. I'm not sure either. I don't know.
That would be an interesting project.
Yes, it would be. That's a wonderful idea.
One thing that we did with our kids when they were growing up, and I think fourth grade sort of stands out in my mind as sort of the biography period. They're really interested in people's lives. Is we would find biographies of people who had the same interests or talents as whichever kid we were dealing with. So we did a lot of musical biographies. We did a lot of political biographies, sports biographies. And it's interesting with the sports ones, you can really direct them. You can stack the deck because if a kid is interested in baseball, you can give them Roberto Clemente, who died in the plane crash taking food to his country and so forth. So there are all kinds of ways to stack the deck a little bit.
That's so interesting you say that because my daughter just brought home biography of Roberto Clemente. That's exactly the one that she just brought home from school. But yeah, I think that's a great example. And I think it's very important to do that, especially after 9/11 and the events of the fall and then everything that's happened with Enron now. I think this is a very important time, more than in the recent past, for parents to really think about this issue and think about ways in which they can give children information that leads them to become aware of all the individuals in our culture and societies who have done so many things for other people. I think it's important to balance not just the potential skepticism that comes with seeing people who do things that aren't good, but also to balance and weigh out, I think, the fears that they might have that have arisen from terrorist acts and people who are committing these kinds of acts. You know, there's this question constantly of how could somebody do something so horrible to other people? And I think this is something children really struggle with. They just don't understand this at all. And so I think we need to step back a little and present them with alternative views of human nature and of people. And I think a wonderful way to do that is through heroes and through people that they can admire and to give them that kind of opportunity to see the positive aspect and positive side of human nature, because there are so many wonderful things that people do for other people, and that doesn't often get the headline, you know, in the newspaper or the magazine. And I think there are ways in which it's important for us to communicate that to children.
Mm-hmm. Actually, when I was thinking about that, when I was thinking all the terrible things that happen and when you hear floods and famine and so forth, it's probably a good idea for us, if we can, with the same bit of news that our child is hearing, to say, do you know what organizations are sending in relief efforts? And so that's another positive piece to that.
We talked about that right after sort of it happened when I had college students, you know, talking a lot about human nature. I mean, because that's a lot of what we read and sort of this idea of human nature. And in my research, we've been trying to show sort of the positive and the social sides of human nature, because psychology's had a long history of sort of emphasizing the aggressive nature and negative nature. And they sort of said, well, do these sets of events confirm this more negative side? And I said, well, it depends on how you look at it. Look at how many people, you know, helped out and responded to it. And it's overwhelmingly more so than the small number of people who actually committed these acts. So you have to balance it out. But that's not going to be readily apparent to individuals because the negative can take on such a large sort of affect to it.
Well, thank you very much for all the important information you have given us. All the parents listening out there, I think, feel more empowered and more positive about this whole business of heroes. So Dr. Melanie Killen, we're very appreciative of your being with us today.
Thank you so much for inviting me. It's been a pleasure.
Our gift for our first caller is an autographed copy of our book, Washington, D.C. with Kids. Just call us toll-free at 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. That's 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address, and tell us what station you're listening to. Since we're airing all over the world, it's always fun to know what station you're tuning in from. Parents as Mentors and Washington, D.C. with Kids are both available at all major bookstores and on the web.
To learn more about Parents' Perspective and our books, Parents as Mentors and Washington, D.C. with Kids, visit our website, http://i.am/parentsperspective. That's http://i.am/parentsperspective. This is Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis. We're glad you could share Parents' Perspective. Our sound engineer is Damon Fisher. Music for this program was composed and performed by Jonathan Burt.